6:30, and I think we have quorum. Stephanie, would you call the roll? Call to order.
Tom Moore.
Here.
Judy O'Connor.
Here.
Joe Omoasagie.
Here.
Elaine Plencia.
Here.
Kyle Patterson.
Here.
Julian Rappaport.
Here.
Ann Robin. Margaret White.
Here.
Susan Fowler.
Here. Okay, thank you. We have a few minutes set aside for citizen input or public participation. If we have such participation from the audience, we ask you to limit your comments to 5 minutes because of the potential depth of the agenda. Do we have any public participation today? Okay, no one's jumped forward, so we will continue on to approval of the agenda. The agenda is obviously the first two pages of the packet. I would ask for a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved. Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. President's comments. Mine will be brief. We will have a study session next week, next week's right before Thanksgiving, that is in part focused on developmental disabilities, so it is optional for board members, but you're certainly encouraged to come. I also would like to just remind us, although Lynn says we didn't pass it this past year, we have a code of ethics, as does the county, and I will include it in the December minutes. And it just reminds us to be careful not to speak on behalf of the Mental Health Board. That should be done only by the executive director or president and executive director. Things sometimes happen, but just part of the code of ethics. And a reminder. Secondly, we've had an unusual, well, it's not totally unusual, it's happened before that we've had underperformance by an agency due to a variety of reasons, but our primary new business for today is to talk about a briefing memorandum on parenting with love and limits. And I would like to, before we talk about that briefing memorandum, ask Mark to flip to the staff report that he prepared rather than holding it until the end of the meeting so that he can provide us with some background about why there's a briefing memo for parenting with love and limits. And then finally, I would hope that under old business that we have spent enough time on the allocation criteria and the three-year plan that we wouldn't need to discuss it in great detail, but that's my hope. It's up to the board to make that decision. Okay, Mark, would you go ahead?
Sure, thank you. Yes, my staff report this month is a little bit different than normally. We had an issue come to light through our quarterly report process. With the Parenting with Love and Limits program, specifically the front-end program administered by Rose Grants. Essentially, what it comes down to is during the first quarter, while they had some groups scheduled, they were not able to actually run the groups as planned and kept deferring them. The end result being that no new families were served during the first quarter, and the groups that were scheduled were delayed beyond that, complicating the situation is some staff turnover, but they did have two therapists on staff. Could have run groups, and the supervision notes that I was provided from Savannah Family Institute actually indicated that they did intend to run the groups, but for whatever reason, the groups were delayed once, twice, and then now we're in a situation where the other therapist has resigned. They have hired a new therapist, but that person is being trained, and so we are in a situation where they only have one therapist who is trained and capable to run groups. So we were basically 4 months into the year and no new families served and no groups held. That's not to say that there isn't some activity associated with the program during that period, but one of the main things we would expect to see is for families to be engaged in services, to complete an intake, and then engage in groups, and that that groups be held on a fairly regular basis. So that's the situation in terms of the performance issue. Staff, Lynn and I have had some various serious discussions about where we go from here with the program. In the midst of all this is the potential, or is the merger between Prairie Center and Rosecrans. That provides an opportunity to consolidate the two programs. We recognize, independent of this performance issue that occurred in the first quarter, that the program, that the two programs do have excess capacity, and that, you know, with the merger, it's probably a good time to reevaluate where this program, the number of staff involved in the program, and the investment by the board. So rather than move forward with a performance-related action on the program, we've chosen to focus on the consolidation to provide the opportunity to essentially reduce the number of staff involved in the program. And some of that is addressed in more detail in the briefing memo. The bottom line is the program had a performance issue. I will just tell you, I shared this with Susan before the meeting. I don't think I've ever been more disappointed in a program that I've been involved in. And I know Julie understands that, but I just wanted to share that with the board. And I'm very concerned about what's going on. There have been steps taken by Savannah and by Ms. DeBell, the remaining fully trained therapist, to move forward with groups. He is going to do a group solo that will involve coaching within individual families' homes and then group sessions at Rosecrans. They are also, one of the things that was going on last summer was they were looking at running some groups at Urbana Neighborhood Connections. And I think they had either one or two groups that they were planning to hold, and those groups were eventually postponed. And they're going to attempt to reconnect with those families and run those groups, still run those groups at Urbana Neighborhood Connections for that. So I don't know what else I can tell you. They do have a number of referrals that they're working through to try and engage additional families. The new therapist that's being trained, I think, is either being trained this week or is back from training and would start organizing her group here shortly.
Questions?
Mark, I understand about the staff shortages, but could you give a little more detail about why the referrals are down?
For the front end program, they had organized through the Urbana Neighborhood Connections enough families to, I think it was actually two groups, to run two groups. But they also get referrals because it's the front-end program. They get referrals from the Youth Assessment Center. Families can self-refer, and then they can get referrals through schools. In the summer, you're not going to be getting referrals through schools, but the Youth Assessment Center is still active. They did get I think a report I saw through the Youth Assessment Center showed that they had 16 referrals. They have tended to require about twice as many referrals to be received, and then from say they got the 16 referrals, they would need to get a group of 6 to 8. They would need about 16 referrals because some of those folks they won't be able to contact. Some they will contact, and they will choose not to engage. And then you have your remaining number that you engage. I'm not sure why the referrals are down. It seems to be more of an traditionally to have been more of an issue with the extended care program. But both programs at different periods in time have struggled with referrals. So,
unless there are other questions, I would suggest that we move to the briefing memorandum because it was written by Mark and by Lynn and other staff as a result of the staff report. Would that be accurate to say? Okay. Or in response to the staff report. So for the briefing memo, which is the only item of new business, Lynn, do you want to discuss that or should we turn it to Mark? Or both of you?
Sure. As I mentioned, we have the proposed merger between Prairie Center and Rosecrans, and I don't know if Gail intends during agency information to provide an update on where that stands. It's my understanding that everything is moving forward through the due diligence process and that the January 1st date is still a likely date for the merger to occur, December 31st or January 1st. We currently have within the Prairie Center program, they are down one therapist. The Rosecrans program is down a therapist and case manager. What the briefing memo discusses is the prospect of when these programs, when the agencies merge, consolidating the two programs into one program, having them all trained in extended care. That includes some trauma work with the families, an extra couple of sessions, working with the individual families. But all staff would be trained in extended care services, but they still would have the capacity to do front-end work, the less intensive work. So if they're getting referrals and have enough referrals to run a group that's just front-end, they can run a front-end group. They could also run an extended care group. We've also had situations in the past where the case manager, co-facilitator position is vacant, and we currently have that situation with the Rosecrans program that in a situation where that would occur, that we make other arrangements with other therapists, possibly, and I think it's, I have this in the memo, looking at the lead therapist to fill that void so that groups can be run on a regular basis. So with the merger and the current vacancies that exist, we would look at taking the program from 6 therapists and 2 case managers down to 4 therapists and 1 case manager, and then having the lead therapist serve as a backup when needed. Whether or not the number of referrals are there to fully support 4 therapists, I think that's kind of a wait and see. If the merger goes through on January 1st as planned, we would have 6 months of performance to see how the programs are performing and whether it justifies the full cadre of 4 therapists. There are some cost savings associated with both in terms of the Savannah contract, but also with the reduction in staffing at the provider level. And I tried to as clearly as I could illustrate that in one of the sections of the briefing memo. This is a briefing memo. You're not being asked to make any decisions this evening. We would, once the merger, we get notification that the merger is moving forward, that we would bring this back to the board in the form of a decision memo. There's also some housekeeping that's involved related to the other contracts with Prairie Center in terms of moving them from a Prairie Center contract to a Rose Grants contract, but that's more of a technical change than it is a question that we have before us with Parenting with Love and Limits. So, Lynn, I don't know if you have anything else to share or if you have a question for me that I...
I'm interested in opening this so that you can have a discussion and then just answering your questions, but I would like to acknowledge there was a positive side to all of this. We, you know, in big picture, this is typical of November. We're looking through the first quarter reports and we see things that we didn't expect. And so then we start to address those issues and, you know, this is where, like, best if we are partnering with agencies to work through problems, but sometimes they do rise to the level of your attention. And so within 2 days or 3 days, everybody involved in this responded with something. It wasn't easy for them to drop what they were doing and come up with a couple of proposals with actual numbers for you, but they did it. They understood how important it was, and I felt really pleased with that. Like, everyone was responsive, and especially, you know, this, I was surprised at what Savannah proposed, that they acknowledged, even though the extended care piece is much more expensive and their supervision and data work around the extended care piece is more expensive, they offer a reduced contract. And I thought, okay, I just wanted you all to know that there was some really good action. Whatever happens next, I don't know. And that's why we've put some possible next steps on this briefing memo, and then we'll respond to your discussion with some, either it's direction for a decision memo in December or in January.
So what I'd like to suggest is that we try and limit our discussion to about 20 minutes, and because we still have other actions that we'll need to vote on under old business, and this is not an action item, but it's a very important information item, and I think it's certainly reasonable for members of the board to comment on their reaction to the situation, the briefing memo, and or to raise some questions for staff to pursue as the merger moves forward.
Just one note. This conversation could get really confusing because we've got Savannah, Prairie Center, Rosecrans CU, and Rosecrans. So, and those relationships aren't all clear yet because the merger is not complete. So if we get tangled up in words, I hope that we can untangle ourselves patiently.
Okay.
I guess it's either for Mark or Lynn or someone from Rosecrans. Do you feel confident that, given the staffing that is present, that they will be able in the next 6 months to meet the demand if the referrals are there? You think they'll be able to do the program?
Some of the staff that remain, both on the Prairie Center side, you have the lead therapist. He's been with the program since its inception. On the Rosecrans side, the therapist that remains has, I think, 6 years experience with the program, very capable. He's had some years where he's pushed up to close to 40 families over the course of a year. He was actually the individual that was working with Urbana Neighborhood Connections to develop the groups there. So if the referrals are there, I think he is certainly capable enough to manage that. They also have a new therapist that's just being trained, and so she would be new to the program, but being, I think, having just been trained, she's probably pretty motivated. On the Prairie Center side, you have a therapist besides the lead therapist. You have one other therapist who has been with the program a little over a year and is running groups on a regular basis. On the Prairie Center side, they run groups on a regular basis, but the groups aren't as large. Mm-hmm. But each therapist will typically runs a group a quarter or close to that.
And I don't know if I understood this correctly, but it sounds like they may be changing the venue where they would be holding some of these groups. Does that differ at all from what Savannah proposes, given that this is kind of a programmed intervention? So is Savannah, is what's being proposed, does that fit Savannah's way of doing their program? It does. Okay. Yeah.
I guess I'm back on Elaine's question. I'm a little, it gives me some pause to hear that there are not sufficient referrals. I understand the side of having difficulty finding or keeping staff, given lots of reasons in the field for how we do that. But I guess I've been operating under the would have expected, given what I'd heard about this program and what I have been told about the needs, is that there'd be, if anything, because of the difficulty of having enough staff, there would be a waiting list, and it would be long, and we have that kind of a problem. So I'm a little unclear about this lack of referrals issue, because that seems to me, that raises other issues for me that I just need to understand.
The front end program right now has 30 referrals that they're working through. The front end, the Rosecrans program has 30 referrals that they're working through. The Prairie Center program, during the first quarter review, brought up the issue of the lack of referrals that they're getting. The Prairie Center program deals primarily with youth coming through the juvenile detention center or having a deeper penetration into the juvenile justice system, the criminal justice system. But they will accept referrals from outside of that system, so long as when they're screened, their need passes the threshold for which they would need the extended care level of engagement. If it doesn't, there is some communication and cross-referral between programs that does occur. I'm not sure how to answer your question about, you know, the need in the community. Some families, and I think this is experienced by both programs, but I think some families just aren't interested in engaging, and you know, for whatever reason.
So what, if I may, this is a hard one to talk about. I mean, the whole program's hard to talk about because it's presumed. We've been presented it as it's a package, and this is the way it gets done, and this is, you know, we have these supervisors, and this is contractual, and so on. So it's not like we have what I would typically think an agency would have, would be a lot of freedom to make adjustments to what they're learning about what they're doing at different times, and so on. So, for example, putting aside what I just said about what I've been told about this being a packaged program, a situation like the one that I think you're describing, but I could have this incorrect because the information is still a little, so maybe I'm all going down the wrong path here, But I would be inclined to wonder, wouldn't the best thing to do to become more aggressive about going out and finding people? And, I mean, presumably the need is in the community, and sometimes one of the problems that social services have is sometimes the people most in need are the least likely to get the service they need for a combination of reasons, including their own hesitancy or their feeling that these people don't really understand me and what do I want to do there. And so you have to do a certain amount of aggressive outreach if you're going to care about those people. So I guess I'm inclined, putting aside the packaged nature of the program, to wonder, well, why isn't that happening? Why aren't we doing some aggressive outreach?
There, I think in the past, the front-end program has gone out and met with schools and presented the program to social workers, school social workers, and things like that. As part of this, what's come about after the first quarter, one of the things that John Burek has talked to us about, and this was one of the things that came up in our discussion with him about their proposal, and also in a conference call with the providers as well as Lynn and I, was about the issue of referrals and establishing kind of a task force of, I guess, referral sources, so to speak, representatives from the schools, from law enforcement to a certain degree, but also other community groups and other sources. For me, it reminded me of the Youth Assessment Center Advisory Board, but when I mentioned that to John, he said it needs to be broader than that, but that you would have monthly calls, conference calls with representatives from the task force, and that the impression I had was that Savannah would be involved in those calls and working on marketing the, I don't know if marketing is the right way to describe it, but promoting the program and identifying families that might be appropriate for this particular service.
I mean, I guess what...
Sure. One of the other things is that if when we go from six therapists to four, and that it, and four is not a magic number, it could go to three, but you're reducing the number, you're reducing the cost of the program to the board, but you're also realigning the availability of the service to what may be the number of families that need it.
Go ahead.
So a couple comments. One is I'm thinking back to our original meeting where juvenile justice, the detention center, everyone was here saying we need this program, and yet there's no referrals. The other thing is there is a system in place with school social workers throughout Champaign. I know in the Champaign schools, Urbana schools, actually all the schools in the area where the social work staff does meet monthly, so that would be the social work staff from the entire districts meet at least monthly, so that would be an easy, or to contact the special ed directors in those districts. But my other question is, and you may have said this because it's just overwhelming here, is are we paying for this quarter with no, there's no services, and I'm thinking if there are no therapists.
We're actually... We have a contract amendment that we're waiting for, for Susan to sign and me to sign, which authorizes us to reduce. I think we're just reducing the next payment to make up for the staff vacancy in this program and in another contract. So it just reduces the payments for the full year by the amount of the vacancy.
Thank you.
If I can call on myself. I think one of my concerns is that we do understand that there can be difficult times for referrals, but that this was an extended difficult time for referrals. And we had a very lively discussion about the total expense of the PLL program. and a very lively response that it was extremely important to the community. And so we're in this very awkward position of funding a program that's underutilized, and it's one of our most expensive programs. And so I know this is a briefing information memo and not a decision memo, but I would really like to be assured before we make any decisions that the demand is there and that the capacity is there. Otherwise, I believe that we're wasting money.
If I may, they do track the referrals and the sources of referrals. And for the extended care program, the vast majority of referrals do come through the juvenile justice system, through youth probation. In some respects, it's a good thing that those referrals are down because, and I don't know what the census is at the juvenile detention center, but that may be an indication that there are fewer youth coming through the juvenile detention center.
Or maybe it's an indication, tying back to what you said, that the program needs to be adjusted to meet the current need in a different way. And I think that's actually a discussion that we have sometimes about whether the program is working for the current need. So,
Tom and then Julian, I'm sorry, Judy, were you?
I just wanted to say it looks to me like it's pretty clear that this format is not appropriate for this time, that there needs to be a change. I don't know why it's so hard to say we need to do what's best for the community. And I was disappointed that we didn't have some of this information when we had our discussion. If this was really that serious, we should have been informed by the agencies before now. It was happening over a period of time.
Right. This has happened in the first quarter of this fiscal year. So our first discussions about it would be at the end of October, early November.
But at that time, they were down their therapist, right?
Right.
Okay.
But that's actually quite typical of your contracts. It's hard for the agencies to stay fully staffed, so we run into this pretty often where there's a vacancy, it exceeds the contractual maximum for a vacancy, and then they owe us money back.
But with the Savannah program, it is so specific that replacement of these therapists is monumental to make the program run.
Okay, Tom, and then Julian.
I just had a comment about Julian's aggressiveness in finding referrals. I don't know if Julian wants to speak to this or not, but it seems to me that one of the notions of being aggressive would be not to go to professionals and alert them, but maybe go to places like churches. And especially since most of these kids that are kids that we're talking about are African Americans, the church would be a great place to kind of connect with and have their pastors involved. I think as an aggressive move to improve the referrals. It was just a comment on what you were.
Well, actually, what I was going to say is that I don't think the issue. I think it might be a mistake to handle it by talking to other social workers, talking to other social workers. Talk to the people themselves in the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think looking back to being an employee there, sometimes even going out and doing the work, having a space at the church, having a space in the community where these groups can be run from, that's something I think could be effective. I mean, because it becomes not going to a place, but coming to the community. And that's just my addition to it.
Margaret?
So I I appreciate your comment, Joe, because one of the things is if you, and Tom, if you put it in a church, that's a comfortable place to go, and then it's a class I go to at church. It takes away a lot of the stigma. The other thing is, the reason I mentioned the social workers in the schools is I've not been a school social worker for over 10 years, and I still get calls from parents within our community and saying, I need help, where should I go? So I think they've served as a resource for so long that that continues to be. So it's more as a resource.
Okay, so I think that it's been almost 20 minutes that the issue is we've got information about the status right now of parenting with love and limits, about consolidation, about perhaps right-sizing the program. The other thing that the board should know is that when a agency underperforms and doesn't meet the role of the contract, there is a process that the staff would have to go through to revise the contract, and that requires some back and forth response with the agency. So the staff is not in a position to do more right now than to, as they would normally do, request back the unexpended money. And I would say that the staff are wanting to see what happens with the merger. But if there were continued concerns about performance, there are steps that the staff could take with the contract. They're not immediate. There's a warning, a response, and then a decision. So there's a process that has to be followed. So I just wanted you to know that that we are trusting the staff to proceed along, and if there is a, when would there be a decision memorandum?
We could do that. Well, it'd be great to do it at the December meeting, but The merger is a critical part of this, so I'm not sure. Like, we could work on something for December. We have actually, when I was saying, yay, what a great process this was, I forgot to thank Susan for also being immediately responsive to the concerns. So we are keeping you in the loop. We don't know yet if it would be possible to do a decision memo on a consolidated program at the December meeting. It would be wonderful to get it all done or to get your authorization for some of these next steps so that we could execute them as they are available. So,
what I was trying to say is that if you decide to cancel a contract, there has to be a letter to the contractee, a response from the contractee, and then a response from the contractor, et cetera. So it's not something you could do in under 30 or 45 days. Does that make sense? And we're assuming that there's movement forward, and we'll monitor it. Julian.
So, before we stop talking about this topic, I think I'd like to at least personally say, and maybe the board wants to say, that I don't think that we're all that that our main interest is in figuring out how to save money here. Our main interest is in getting good programs running in this community. So I want to make a distinction between we don't want to waste money, but we also don't want to be stingy about it if it's doing good for the community. So we're hoping this will be successful, and we don't have to do what you're talking about. That's at least my point of view.
Well said, Julian. Thank you. Any other comments before we move on to old business? Okay. Julian, could you turn your mic off? Okay. So before we move on to old business, we do have an opportunity for agency information. Do we have an agency that would like to come forward? Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Hi, Julie Cartel from Rosecrans. And I just thought I would do a couple points of clarification that the board just brought up tonight to help maybe with the PLL program and the question around advertising and what have we done. Certainly not this year, we haven't, but when we saw the trend, probably a couple years ago, we began to see a trend of referrals going down. We had a huge campaign that we did, bus posters in every single school, met with every single school and their social workers, business cards out, little post-it notes out. I can't confirm whether or not we went to churches, I don't recall. But we hit everywhere we thought we could try, especially with the posters on buses. It was unusual for us to do something like that. Staff spent quite a bit of time trying to drum up referrals. And again, I think this was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I can't remember. They still continue to attend the Youth Assessment Center monthly meetings to try and coordinate and generate referrals. They continue to attend the monthly Unit 4 attendance meetings. This is where they talk about some of the kids that are really struggling with truancy. So we have representation there. And we continue to go where invited to social work meetings, passing out flyers, fairs, school fairs, to try and continue to promote the program. But it has been a challenge. Referrals have been a challenge for us, no doubt. We have offered services in other places. We worked really months and months for a Spanish-speaking only group in Rantoul, close to having that happen. And then because of legitimate things up in Rantoul where they were trying to run the group, they couldn't. The referral sources could not make it happen, but we were close there. We offered to Urbana School. Misty Bell worked really hard there. We'll do the groups wherever we can get people to come, and that's what also led to the Urbana Hood Neighborhood Connections. We thought that would be a great place and generated some referrals there, too. So, again, we will go wherever we feel like it's a very mobile program. It doesn't have to be within our facility by any means. And again, I think for the 8 years that we've been in the providing the PLL program, we have exceeded our benchmarks. We have been challenged as the years have gone on to reaching our clinical minimums. But this is the first time we've had anything like this happen. Our individual clinicians are high performers, exceeding their individual expectations on all outcomes. But this quarter was a very terrible quarter for all kinds of reasons, and it was unfortunate. We're not proud about that. I absolutely understand the questions about the performance, but I wanted to give you some of those other updates.
Any questions for the agency? Anne?
Yeah, this shows my lack of understanding about the program, but if there are no referrals and no groups, what are those therapists doing?
So there are referrals, and a number of referrals, like Mark said, I think there's 30 that they've been working, and they were a number of them were the Urbana Neighborhood Connections families. So Misty and staff continue to try and continue to stay engaged with many of those families. We always operated under we were trained that the fidelity of the model was to have a certain number of families ready to go before you hold the group. So we stuck with that. And that's where we got challenged and a lot of the delays happened. We'd have 6, we got to get 10, and then a couple would drop off and then we'd delay. And I was aware of that all along the way. And I was thinking we were making the right decisions, that the model said we needed to have a certain level. And that's part of what led to some of the delays, is like we couldn't quite get enough to reach our so they stayed engaged, which was part of the reason why Misty was quickly able to get this next group ready. He stayed engaged with them, and within days they said, yeah, we're ready to go.
Tom has a question.
Julie, I don't know, you weren't sure whether or not you had tried the churches or not, but, and I don't know if you have a mailing list or a long list, there are a bunch of African-American organizations that you may not show up in the newspaper and people may not know about, but that do exist, that can be contacted, that can help with this issue. I can't speak for Hispanics, but I bet there's the same list of organizations that know the community and have contacts, I would guess even with those families in one way or another, that could also, you know, you're working with them in some particular way would help you very much in not having to rely simply on that professional class of people to work with. And I bet they can get you connected with these people pretty quickly.
Thank you for your report. Do we have another agency wishing to participate? Okay, not seeing anyone move towards the microphone. We'll move on to old business. And under old business, we have the draft PY19 Mental Health Board Allocation Criteria, which is pages 6 to 14. This is a decision memorandum, which will be followed by a vote. Page 6 to 19. Okay. The decision memorandum is from Lynn Canfield. Lynn, do you want to provide an overview before we entertain a motion?
I can do that. I had intended to include in your packet a version of this that had highlights on what I had changed, but the highlights didn't show up. So I brought the original in case you have any questions about what changed. It's really very much technical stuff. I took the numbers out. The priorities had numbers. So a member suggested that the numbers imply importance, and it seemed important to take that implication out. So it's a few things like that. There are some wording changes that are based on input from board members and staff. There are a couple of examples under two different priorities that were provided by staff to clarify. And so if you have any questions about what they are specifically, I can show you. And then there's a little bit of additional language about indirect costs. It's on page 12. Per the board's approved funding guidelines, calculation and rationale should be explicit, supporting the relationship between indirect costs and the value of the proposed program. So that's already within the policy, but I wanted to bring it into the priorities memo too. And then it's also within our practice. And then there was an earlier suggestion about simplifying something on the very last page, that letters of support for applications would not be accepted. So there's nothing of big substance changed, just those additions.
And these additions were based on the study session and conversations at prior board meetings.
And the DD board's proposed priorities follow these because their priorities do contribute to some of the decisions you're asked to make in May. So I wanted you to see this, but that's a briefing memo. That is still very much open for discussion, including at the, you know, hopefully we'll get some ideas at the study session on November 29th, which will contribute to the final document for that. So that's why you have that one.
So before there's a motion to discuss, if you've got clarification questions, we can take those now and not mix those up with decisions to approve or not. Okay. Anne.
Yeah, this is just my not being able to understand the language that is used in this kind of contract. So on page 12, I don't understand what realignment of existing PY18 contracts to address priorities. Could you please explain what that means?
You know, that one, Mark, we introduced that a couple of years ago, and I think that was so that there are some things that you traditionally fund that are not identified here as priorities, but they're sort of obvious priorities for mental health funding because they're, you know, they're related to traditional mental health services like counseling and and psychiatric access. So the realignment means that you can, you might have an additional provision in those contracts that they would maybe be subject to change toward a priority. This happened a few years ago when we, was it wellness? It was a wellness initiative for people with justice involvement, and that was a mid-contract shift in the focus of one of the very traditional counseling contracts. So that's all that it's, that seems like a more complicated way to say it. I'm sorry.
Well, it looks to me like you're reserving the right to eliminate a program mid-year. Is that correct, or am I wrong about that?
Not really.
It's okay.
It's more like this is an FY18 priority. This is your FY19 priorities document. So it's more about continuing things that are effective but may not really fit in here. So bring those more into alignment with these priorities. Do you want to?
I can. We have, and I periodically I do those spreadsheets that will break out like the criminal justice funding, and we have a criminal justice behavioral health priority. We have a developmental disabilities priority. We have a system of care priority. And I will list those on the spreadsheet. But then there'll also be a category that is titled community-based services. And those are some of the programs that we have traditionally funded but don't necessarily fit well with our priorities. And I think one of the things that we're getting at here with this language is that if need be, if we had a demand for services or proposals within the primary priorities here, that the board could choose to reduce their investment in, and I'm going to use the senior services program at Family Service as an example, that's a program we've had a long-term investment in, but it doesn't necessarily align with one of the four priorities. So the board could choose under this realignment statement to reduce funding for that program and use it to support a new initiative or a program that the board feels is a higher priority. And we do include in our language in the contract that those programs may be subject to realignment or redirection and even to the extent of termination in order to meet our priorities.
Okay, I still am confused. I don't know. Am I the only one that's confused about this or that cares about it? I don't know. But
I think the board would have to vote to not support something like the Senior Center or the Eastern Illinois Refugee Center, which fall under those community-based and which have been pretty popularly supported by the board. So I think I would say what this is a little bit of wiggle room for the future, but it would be our decision, not the staff's decision,
right.
Be the board's decision.
I guess that is, maybe wiggle room is what we should call it, because that is the intent.
However, we could, you could request an amendment.
Mm-hmm. I think it's in the category of things that you could already do, but if we bring them forward, then you're getting, it's sort of letting people know that you can do that. It is within your authority to do it anyway, but it's just sort of making that explicit. And it's not very explicit because it's not very clear, but maybe we should.
Do we need it?
No, we don't need it. It's, like I said, it's there just to make it additionally known.
So if there's a significant concern when it comes to mm-hmm. Support the motion could be amended to eliminate. that paragraph, that subheading.
Yeah.
Julian, these are clarification questions.
All along I've been reading that as simply saying, so we've been spending our money this way for maybe sometimes a long time. Now we have, what we have, our current priorities. It's simply alerting everybody to the fact that, well, it might be that in order to do our current priorities, we're not just because you've had money in the past, we're not necessarily, we've spent it that way in the past, doesn't mean we're going to continue to do it in the future.
I think that it,
and
I think it came in when we were talking more often about multi-year contracting, like that it, I don't know, we haven't been talking about that lately, so again, it's not relevant.
So this is a clarification issue that would need to carry over into the motion, I think, because it's more than clarification now. It was whether or not it should fit. Are there any other clarification about wordings, Tom?
No. Just a comment on this.
I did remember another one.
I think we need, if maybe this is confusing, if so, then it needs to be cleared up, but I think it's wise for us to have some kind of disclaimer in there so that when the situation does arise, people don't think that they can be, once supported, they're supported
always
for life. And I think it needs to be said. If this isn't the right way to say it, that's a different story.
Okay, any other clarifications?
There's an additional phrase, there is an additional phrase on page 8 at the bottom, and I think this came from the study session, or maybe it came from a board meeting earlier. We added, and services should be delivered by appropriate behavioral health professionals, because I think that was a pretty big theme last year in your discussions of proposals, so we wanted to clarify that.
Okay. If there are no more clarification issues, then I invite a motion so that we can move into substantive discussion. Is there anyone who would care to move to approve the Mental Health Board Program Year 2019 allocation priorities and decision support criteria as described in the memorandum? Elaine moved. Julian seconded. Okay, discussion. Anne, are you asking for modified wording or?
Well, when I read the whole thing, I understood most of it, not completely, because the language is foreign to me. But this one was the most foreign, and I was trying to figure out what the heck it meant. And I think it means that if we have a contract with a program for a year and we decide at mid-year that we want to support another program, we can cancel that contract. That's how I'm reading it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it needs to be reworded.
It means that in FY19, programs we supported in FY18 don't have a shoe-in. They could not.
Well, that's understood. I don't know why we would need to. To me, this was very confusing.
Okay.
And it made me think that you could cancel a program at any time if you needed the money for something else. That's the way it read to me. So if it's just saying that just because we've supported your program for 10 years doesn't mean we're going to support it for another 10 years, that's fine. I just couldn't understand it.
Okay. There's actually a pretty substantial process to cancel a program. It can't be done.
We have special provisions in certain contracts which would be impacted by changes in federal and state regulations, which look likely. Right now, nothing looks likely, so I don't know if we would even bother with special provisions like that in the next round, but we have done that before.
Does that need to be in our briefing memo, our briefing decision, though?
No.
No.
It's in contract.
Okay. So, is there additional discussion?
I'm just checking. This more than once.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it, and all you've done now is make, well, minor, I guess, detail.
Responsive clarification.
Yeah.
Additions.
Changes. So, okay, that's all I wanted to know. It's okay. Making sure.
Any other discussion? Okay, Stephanie, is this a voice vote or a roll call vote?
A voice vote.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Any opposed? Any abstain? Okay, it passes. Thank you.
Discussion. Thank you, Anne.
Allocation criterion for the DD board is a briefing memo. Any discussion on the briefing memo? I know that the DD board is not finalized, but they're waiting for the study session on the 29th before they do that.
Mm-hmm. Bring in an expert.
Okay, hearing no, seeing no one hand raised for discussion, we'll move on to the draft 3-year plan, pages 24 to 32. This is also a decision memorandum. This is also something that we have seen several times already this year. It's also, for those who are not new to the board, similar to what we've seen for the past 2 years, because it was based on the 2016-2018
priorities. So it is submitted by Mark Driscoll. Mark, do you have any clarification comments that you'd like to make before we would open for clarification questions, before we would move the motion?
The few changes that were made from the original draft that was released in September are highlighted in the decision memo. They're based on feedback I got from actually board members as well as other stakeholders. So the few changes that are there are identified in the decision memo.
Any questions of clarification from board members? Anne.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to Mark, because having the underlined new thing and the crossed out old thing was very helpful. Thank you very much for that. And I think those are improvements in wording. But I don't know what a sequential intercept map gap analysis is. And if you can explain that in about 1 minute, I'd appreciate it. Otherwise, tell me to just let it go.
The Crisis Response Planning Committee, they did the sequential intercept map, and it is tied to the intercepts between the criminal justice system and the behavioral health, the community behavioral health system. And there are 5 points along that spectrum, along that the sequence is 5, starting with law enforcement contact, going all the way through to that's intercept 1 through intercept 5, which is basically parole and probation.
Okay.
So, and they're
by SAMHSA.
Yes, through the Gaines Center.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
And the map itself would have been included as an attachment in the presentation at, I think, the September board meeting. So, if
so.
There are, yes, there certainly are gaps.
I think that was very useful. Thank you.
Any other clarification questions? Thank you, Anne. Okay, hearing none, do I have someone
to move to approve the 3-year plan with fiscal 2018 objectives? Okay, Tom has moved. Do we have a second? Anne is seconding.
Apologies for not having the microphone on, Stephanie. All right, any about the plan? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Passed. Thank you. Okay. Schedule and allocation process timeline is pages 33 to 36. This is an information item that
Lynn has been including every month so that we have a good sense of what is in front of us, and it does change. Lynn, do you have any comments about it?
I do. I have an important comment, and that is a result of the study session. We've added, per your study session discussion, on February 21st, we're going to provide you not just with the list of requests for funding, but with the assignment of board members to review proposals so that you're not waiting, you know, 2 months for, or whatever. Like, you drove that process last year, so I don't know if you have the energy to do that again. It looked like a really complicated, okay. But if you don't want to do it, we'll take it on. Okay.
If I'm still appointed to the board, that's, you know, my term ends at the end of December, so we'll see.
The other important thing to note is that December 13th is a tentative meeting, so that's something you can decide now or after this meeting, whether we need December 13th. So that's you know, a discussion point. And then I have a comment. This just came to my attention yesterday when we were meeting with the U of I evaluation team about our application instructions and the forms we use and kind of improving the language and improving the appearance to improve access. It came up that it might be helpful for the agencies to see important dates, like when the reports are due, reporting, you know, quarterly reports are due. So I thought about, would it be of value to you if I added that to this timeline? So you also see that. So all of our important dates would be in one place.
Hearing no objections, go ahead. Okay, any questions for Lynn about the schedule? Okay, great. Moving on. Lynn, do you have any CCDB information other than the Ed McManus talk on the 29th?
Yeah, it really is a DD focus. He could probably speak to other changes at federal and state level, but his focus is DD, and the purpose of bringing him is to really to check and see if where we're headed with the DD priorities is right or is like a good fit, because there's some big changes at the state level that we aren't really sure how to respond to. So that's the other thing that's happening at that meeting that's important is, and one of the agencies under contract wanted to do a Facebook live stream so that their members could watch the meeting and participate in the meeting, even though they're parents of people with disabilities, so it's very hard for them to attend meetings. So in order to make that fully accessible, we'll have a sign language interpreter too. So it's kind of, it's an experiment for us in making our meetings more inclusive and participatory, and we are curious about like how that works, if it helps to increase the public input, especially at a time when we're looking for public input to inform the next 3-year plan. So.
Thank you. Then moving on, approval of the Mental Health Board minutes from October 18th. You've had a chance to hopefully review those minutes, which are on pages 37 to 42. That includes both sets of minutes. Do I have a motion to approve 10-18? Thank you, Anne. A second? Tom? Discussion?
Susan?
Yes.
I think I was here on October the 25th. I left early, so I wasn't here at the end. I was here at the beginning. So I don't know if that's what this means when it says
Excused.
We
can make that correction on the study session.
Okay.
Meanwhile, going back to the 18th, any changes for October 18th, which was a regular board meeting? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay, going to the 25th, we will add Tom Moore as present, and I was absent. Margaret, you were absent, and Joe, you were absent.
I can't remember.
You showed up later, too.
You showed up later, too? All right, so is that, you did? Okay, so we'll add Joe in. Thank you. Motion to approve with the addition of Joe and Tom as present on the study session.
Mm-hmm.
Ann moved. Who's second?
Second.
Elaine seconding. All those in discussion? All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? I abstain. One abstention. Okay. Minutes are approved. We would like to have comments from the executive director, if she has some.
Do you want me to defer?
You can defer. Okay. One thing that we have not been able to do is have board-to-board reports. What I'll do is go on to staff reports. Mark was given an opportunity to present some specific issues in his report. Are there questions that should be directed to Mark or Chandra about their report? Again, those were on pages 43 to 65. And if there are no questions, I really would like to compliment the staff on their very thorough mm-hmm. reports. Mm-hmm. I feel so well informed,
yeah.
really. Mm-hmm. But any questions? Okay, great. Thank you. Moving on, the consultant report is included on page 66. Unless there are questions about the consultant report, I think we all know that the expo is now scheduled in April, and we've been well informed every month about it. Comments, questions? Okay, then we'll move on to board-to-board reports. We haven't had a chance to have those. Yes, Kyle.
Thanks. As many of you guys are probably well aware of, I'm the county board's liaison to the mental health board. I also have the painstaking task serving on the county board. We had about 7 hours last night. I've been approached by members of the county board who also serve on the RPC about the Youth Assessment Center. As you know, we're having a lot of difficulties with the county budget, and one of the probably about six or seven programs that's been mentioned for being cut for next fiscal year has been the Youth Assessment Center. The idea of the Mental Health Board taking over funding of that is something that's been brought up in discussions, and I had spoken with Lynn and Susan with it earlier this week. So I just kind of want to put that out there. I think it's something that we need to consider if that is one of the programs that is cut by the county board. It's very complicated. Even now, in my discussions with Lynn, I've not had a lot of clarity on the different questions that even need to be answered, let alone the answers to those. So I want to kind of put this out there to be early just because, this is something that's going to need a lot of, time and thought. A lot of what we do is philosophical. And I think that before we would ever consider moving forward on that, we'd need to really see what that would look like. There's a lot of moving parts there. I also want to say that one of my pet peeves is when I'm involved with some type of organization or something and I get news about it from the news. And I do apologize that I was referred to in the News Gazette as basically having the same discussion now. Like I said, I have a dual role here where I serve on the county board. Next week we're voting on a budget. We spend about $130 million. And we're looking at a lot of really bad cuts. There's, depending on the estimate, 20 to 30 people who work in this county who are potentially going to lose their job. And you know, we as a caucus last night, that was part of our discussion, is the potential cuts, potential moves, ways that we could avoid losing really important programs like the Youth Assessment Center. So I hope it wasn't interpreted I was speaking for the board. Although I wasn't quoted, I was paraphrased, but I thought it was sort of clear that, you know, I was just mentioning that it was something that had been discussed as a possibility. My intentions weren't to speak for the board. I don't think that's what I did. But I did want to apologize that I didn't really have the time to reach out to everybody on the board. This is something that was brought to my attention Monday.
So if I could just respond briefly, we've had a very short time to talk. We understand that, Kyle, you didn't intend to promise any money to the board, which is good because no member of the county mental health board can promise money. We also, I think, at this point, I'm concerned that we don't yet know what the county budget is. They're meeting next week. Who knows? They may decide to make decisions that would not impact something like the Youth Assessment Center. And so I would suggest that we hold discussion about supporting county efforts until after we know what the county's budget is. I also would suggest that we would be setting a precedent if we promised money to fill holes in the county budget. We've never done that before. We've always funded based on specific requests. And so I think we share a concern that important programs not be impacted, but we'll have to wait and see what happens with the county budget next week before we know. And I would be very hesitant to provide any suggestion of support at this time because we haven't had a request. That's all I have to say.
I think in line with what Susan said, I would agree with that as well as we have a set of priorities that we're already funding, and mid-year involvement in that is always difficult. You've been here through those. And I guess my thought is if that's a question that they have, whoever they is, that they might want to approach the staff first before making a more of a public discussion. I don't think we're in a position to have that kind of discussion.
Do we have any, thank you for being a liaison and for your report. Do we have any other agency to agency reports? So they're liaisons. Elaine?
Yes, I regularly attend the DSC board meetings, and I kind of give the same report every time because the problems don't go away. You know, there's the staff shortages that are statewide, and there's the problem of, you know, the salary that is meaningful and useful to keep staff. And kind of heroic efforts, I think, to deal with that, and to they have their fundraising activities that are well publicized that probably everyone hears about. And the other part of those meetings is always the reports on the evolution toward more and more independence, and for the people they help, and more and more self-determination. And there's the array of creative ways that that's being done is very heartening to me, certainly as somebody who has a child, a son who, not a child anymore, who will benefit from those. And there is actually some they have been told by their transition specialist from Vermont, who's been there, Brian Daig, that they're doing some cutting-edge things now. It's not just following along with what the usual, you know, or the current state of affairs is. So I've been very pleased to see those developments.
Thank you, Elaine. Any other agency?
Just one that I might have said this last time. I can't even remember, but the Muhammad Area Youth Club has an open house to their new building on this Saturday from 2 to 5 p.m., and they're now serving 1,000 kids in after school, junior high clubs, high school tutoring. So it's kind of just a celebration for them.
Julian.
The police agencies, crisis team are collecting really useful and interesting data, largely because of the person who got assigned to do it through the Urbana Police Department. So we should notice that the Urbana Police Department is putting some actual resources into this.
Right.
And they ought to get some public goodwill for it.
Thank you.
They paid for it themselves.
I'm going to liaison for the First Followers, and I'd stop by there regularly. And it's always interesting to go in and see who's being interviewed and what they're doing and how these guys are doing. But they've also, I remember last time James and Marlon were here, they talked about a resource manual, and they were producing their own. And we had some concern that there was already one that was existing because and it might be duplicated service, but their notion was the one that was already in existence was primarily about Chicago. And now they have finished theirs. I actually meant to bring it tonight, but I'll make sure that you can get a copy of it. But it's more about local areas. I understand why they would have one for Chicago, because a number of the people they serve are from the Chicago area. But then for the people who actually live here, this one is really relevant. So they're coming along.
So, as a liaison to Rosecrans, I did not go to the meeting today, but the last time I was at a meeting, part of a conversation was on the, kind of a transition from paper to having everything data-driven onto the computers and things like that, and how not all the employees were. It takes time, at least being in an agency that where that transition, but that was part of a conversation and also the preparation for the big fundraiser that they had last week.
Well, this is not my official board liaison. This is a little extra report. I attended Carl Foundation Day last week or 2 weeks ago, and they did a two-day symposium that they titled The Medicalization of Poverty, which I thought was kind of a strange title. But the program was actually excellent and had many, many sessions having to do with cultural issues, language issues, racial issues. I personally attended the best session on the issues of race and unconscious bias and how it affects health and healthcare services that I had ever attended, given by a African-American woman lawyer from, get this, Charlottesville, Virginia. So this was a first for Carl to even address any of these issues at all. And I did give you that information, but a little bit late. So I think I was the only one that was able to go. Did you go? And I've got.
I went on Thursday. It was outstanding.
I've got the program.
I represent, or I'm the liaison to Promise Healthcare. And I have not been to the last meeting, but Tom brought in for us to recognize and appreciate the fact that Nancy Greenwald, who is the president or director, executive director for Promise Healthcare, was given the major award from the College of Liberal Arts and Science for her contribution, for her achievements in this community and for what she has done with Promise Healthcare. So if the minutes could reflect our congratulations to Nancy Greenwald, that would be terrific. Tom?
There were, I think there were eight that were given out, and one of the guys that received it was a gentleman by the name of Charles Johansson. Anyone know who he is? Charles Johansson is an archaeologist who discovered Lucy in Ethiopia. So she's included in that group of scientists.
Okay. Any other board-to-board reports? We have no financial information to pass on today. Board announcements.
Survivors of Suicide Day is this coming Saturday at Parkland. We have over 40 people registered so far, which is the largest registration we've had so far. I think we don't want any more people to register. We're not telling anybody that.
Oh, sorry.
But I'm still going to be on the radio tomorrow morning. WHMS 97.5, whatever, tomorrow morning at 8:30. So, and I was on WDWS yesterday at 5 or so.
So, in the data that Julian referred to a few minutes ago about from the CIT steering committee, it shows a really, like, not only are suicide calls and they are threats, attempts, and gestures the top in frequency and volume, but like by a huge margin. It's so I think this is really important that you're doing the event.
Do you have more of these?
That's a ticket. That's an invitation.
Yeah.
So do you have more?
I think they're out of them. We had. Remember, I sent an email the other day. Do you have any more, Angela, or is that? Okay. So if we could get another one, so Anne is giving Margaret her invitation. So then if we can get another one for Anne.
Sandra is offering hers.
Are you?
Yes.
Great. So any other announcements? Hearing none, I request a motion to adjourn. Moved by Tom, seconded by Julian. All those in favor? Aye. We did it. We're out by 7. And we covered some important things.